Luke chapter 2, we're going to read the story of Christmas, the night of nights. Beginning in the first verse, follow with me. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread, and how fitting that the bread of life would be born in the house of bread. To the house of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, and the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the things which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I want to focus on the end of the story on how to celebrate Christmas. What a joy to gather Christmas Day. And some of you will go home, open gifts. Some of you will go home and eat, and you'll be together with family. But, you know, we sometimes stop, and we don't often stop, excuse me, and think about how should we properly celebrate Christmas. I want to give you four ways that we should celebrate Christmas. The first is in verse 18. It says, "When they heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The first thing we need to do with Christmas is literally wonder at it. Don't ever grow beyond the wonder and the majesty and the miracle and the splendor of Christmas. Always say, "Lord, give me that ability just to be awestruck." The word wonder, by the way, literally means to be struck out of yourself. We would, in our kind of modern vernacular, maybe my vernacular, maybe not so modern, my old hippie vernacular, would be blown away. That's literally what the word means. Those that heard what the shepherds told them, they were blown away. They're like, "Wow, that's amazing. That's insane." They were just freaking out. And I think that when we look at the Christmas story, we should always be able to just go, "Wow, that's amazing. That's just awesome." It's just awesome that God would touch the heart of a king, Caesar Nero, and that he would give an edict requiring Mary and Joseph to leave Nazareth and to journey all the way down to Bethlehem in the last stages of pregnancy, when no man in his right mind would take his wife away from the comforts of their home. But God wanted to orchestrate the fulfillment of his word, which he always keeps his promises. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "And thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall come forth he who is to be ruler of my people, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. And so God turned the heart of the king to cause this couple to take this journey all the way down to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem to be enrolled for the purpose of taxation, there was no room for them in the inn. Now, inns in those days weren't really like a nice Ramada Inn or a Hampton Inn or a beautiful hotel we have today. They were just open enclosures. And people would just camp out in a little open enclosure, maybe a fire in the middle. So I believe that God was actually providing for his son when he allowed them to go into the manger. And it could have been, and quite often, mangers were often caves cut out of the limestone cliffs. And they were just like grottos or little caves where the animals would shelter. And then they would feed them there and they would shelter them in there. So it could be that Mary and Joseph went in this little cave grotto, this little shelter. And there it says in verse 7 that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. We never outgrow the wonder, the awestruck wonder of God coming from heaven and being laid and born in the manger and being wrapped with swaddling clothes. You know what that means? That means God is approachable. That means God has come to us. That means that God isn't just way out there in the cosmos, sitting on his throne, unsympathetic, uncaring, unconnected to us, but that God in his love came down to us and he connected with us. And the poorest among us and the lowliest among us and the humblest among us can approach him. What an awesome thought that is. And we wonder at the humility of his birth. And then beginning in verse 8, we might say that we have actually the first Christmas service that ever took place. The audience was the shepherds. It says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So anyone can come to church on Christmas. Amen? Shepherds, you know the shepherds were the lowest class or caste in their social status. You know that shepherds were not allowed to worship in the temple because they were considered unclean. Do you know that shepherds could not give testimony in a court of law because they were considered such a low class? They were considered liars and thieves. They would actually camp out and they would steal from people and think. We think of shepherds as being cool, little, nice, little, humble people. They were like bad dudes is what they were. They were like the lowest of the low. And yet, who does God come to and make the first announcement? Some say they were the only ones awake at that time of night, so the Lord angel could just went to them. But I think it was because God is saying, not only do I come in humility, but I come to those who live in darkness. I come to those who are in the greatest need. Those who the world cast out and those who the world rejects, God accepts. Did you know there's no one too bad for God? There's no one too sinful, no one too far gone, no one too wicked, no one living in too much darkness, but what God can't pull them out of that darkness into his marvelous light and that he loves them. So the first audience was the shepherds, and the first preacher, I love this, was the angel. And lo, an angel of the Lord came to them, verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And King James says they were sore afraid, meaning they were completely, totally freaked out. They were sore afraid. And then here's the message that the angels preached. They said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings, great joy, all people. Why? Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So he is the Savior, he is the Messiah, and he is the Lord God. And this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then the first congregational singing. Suddenly there was with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." So we marvel and we wonder at the angels' visitation, the shepherds and their humility. We marvel and wonder at the song the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This morning when I woke up, I looked out over the hills around Menifee here, and I thought, can you imagine what it was like that first Christmas when those shepherds were awoken out in the fields? Maybe some of us should spend the night out in the field on Christmas Eve and kind of get the feel for what's going on. I'm kidding. Woke up with all that frost on the ground. I thought, God, thank you for a warm house. Amen. But can you imagine that frosty night? They could see their breath maybe huddling around the fire, and all of a sudden the heavens just filled with the glory of God. What an awesome night that was. This was the night of nights. This was God's night. This was the night that would dispel darkness. This was the night that would change the world forever. Have you ever stopped to think about what kind of a world we would live in if Christ had not come? I personally believe that there would be no love. There would be darkness. There would be hatred. There would be no hope. There would be war. There would be all these things. Now, we have those things in the world, but can you imagine if Christ had not come? No hope, no Christmas joy, no salvation, no promised seed of David, no future that we could look forward to. But thank God, Christ has come. And even though we have a sorrow in the world, we know that one day He'll return as the angels proclaim, and He'll sit upon the throne of David, and He will reign forever and ever and ever. But don't ever get beyond the wonder of Christmas. Here's the second way to celebrate Christmas. It's in verse 19. It's ponder. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, how does pondering differ from wondering? Pondering actually means to not just be blown away. Pondering means, what does it mean? It means that we think, what's the significance? Now, this is where I think a lot of people miss Christmas. I think that they know the story about the baby Jesus and about the shepherds. Most people know about the wise men more than they do the shepherds. The wise men came to Jesus probably a couple years after He was born, not when He was a little baby, but a little older and living in a house. But what we don't do, and what I encourage you to do, is think, what does it mean? What does it mean? Now, this is where I could spend too much time, so I've got to kind of pull in the reins a little bit and kind of calm down a little bit. But let me give you three things. I've already given them to you this Christmas. Number one, it means that we can know God. God is revealed in Christ. God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. What is God like? You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus Christ. Look at His love, His compassion, His mercy, His kindness. That's what God is like. You want to know what God is like? Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long you've not seen me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." That means that I'm a revelation of what God is like, in that He is an incarnation and a manifestation of who God is. The second thing He came to do, and she was pondering the significance, He came to redeem us. He came to reveal God the Father and redeem sinful man. He is our Redeemer. I love that song, Jesus, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to buy us back. The word redeem means to purchase or to buy. And we've been sold into sin and slavery. And Jesus came to buy us and purchase us. And the price of our redemption was His blood. You know the color of Christmas is red, don't you? And that the blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins white as snow. That's the Christmas message. So He came to redeem us and to buy us back to God. And then thirdly, He came to reign. To reign upon the throne of David. And in reigning on the throne of David, He will restore this cursed earth. So how interesting. He came to reveal God, to redeem man, and to restore the earth. There's hope in Jesus, and there's hope in Christmas. And so what Christmas means is I need to think about that. I need to ponder it. Go beyond the sentimentalism of the manger and the baby Jesus. And go beyond to the cross and the empty tomb and His second coming and His kingdom upon the earth. It all works together as we ponder its meaning and significance. And here's the third thing we need to do. We need to praise and glorify God. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and had seen, and it was told unto them. Guess what you do at Christmas? You praise God. Amen? Now, we just finished four services yesterday, a service this morning. This is now my seventh Christmas message in the last couple of weeks. But you know what? We're here to worship God. Amen? We're here to worship God. But I often note, and I've been doing Christmas services for over 40 years, I know how many people come to Christmas because their family brought them and they don't want to be here. And I'm just making my mom happy. I'm making my dad happy. And, you know, and so I'm here. And so I preach at Christmas time. I preach, a lot of people have their hands folded, the scowl on their face, and they're just looking at me like, I don't believe a word you're saying, preacher boy. And it just breaks my heart. I had literally looked into the face of thousands of people for many, many, many years who don't want to be in church at Christmas. And it absolutely breaks my heart. I think, do you realize that there's a God? And life is bigger than just what you see and have here right now? Do you realize that Jesus actually was God coming to us to save us? Do you realize that it's your only hope of not being separated from God and from your family and being literally in hell for all eternity? It's your only hope? Do you realize how significant Christmas is? Have you ever thought deeply? Have you ever wondered at it? Have you ever pondered its meaning? And do you have a heart to worship? I believe that if you don't have a desire to sing and to worship and praise Jesus at Christmas, then you don't have Christmas. You're missing Christmas. You know, everyone around the Christmas story sang. Mary sang. The angels sang. Simeon sang. Anna sang. Everyone sang. And even when Elizabeth met Mary, the babe John the Baptist leaped for joy in her womb because the mother of the Lord had come to visit her. Christmas is about joy. Christmas is about singing. Christmas is about rejoicing. How sad that people will get drunk and drown their sorrows and just open gifts and get in arguments and fight and strife when Christmas is about worship and praising and singing to God. So how do we celebrate Christmas? We wonder at it, we ponder its significance and meaning, and we praise the Lord, and we worship Him. Now let me give you one more, last but not least, closing way to worship at Christmas. For this, you back up into verse 17. It says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the shepherds." Tell about it. Proclaim it. Tell others today. Talk to others. Share with others. Tell them about why Christ came and tell them the Christmas story. Tell them the wonders of His birth. Tell them the meaning of His coming, that He came to save, He came to redeem, He came to buy us back. So we wonder at it, we ponder it, we praise, and we proclaim the Savior's birth. Amen.